Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, good morning for some, good evening for others. This is Daryl Hikes. My name is Daryl Hikes. I'm the president and CEO of Arise and Shine Global Ministries. Want to thank you for tuning in today. I'm on speakerphone, so if it sounds a little garbled, I do apologize. I'm actually in a hotel room, but had to do the show, something God put on my heart. I love ministering to people. So, hey, let's just pray and get right into it because I've got quite a few things I'd like to share today, and we're just going to go from there. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity of being able to minister your word. I thank you that as your word goes forth, that it falls upon hearts that are ready to receive, and it does what it is intended to do, which is to reach into the hearts of people and cause a change that can never, ever, ever be erased. And for that, we give you thanks. It's in the mighty, wonderful, majestic, matchless, awesome name of Jesus that we pray, that name that has authority, that name that has power, that name that is dunamis. Amen. Hey, you know, it's a good Sunday. In times past, I've said it's a fun Sunday. It's a super Sunday, just all kinds of stuff. But make it whatever Sunday you want it to be. Look, folks, here's the deal. Things are going to happen in life. People are going to say things. Things may not necessarily go in the direction that you would or I would like them to go. However, there's a plan and a purpose for your life. You were born for a reason. I want to share this story that this happened about 4 or 5 years ago. I'm a coupon guy, so I like, if I can, instead of paying retail, I like to pay wholesale. So I research, I look for things, I do my homework, and if I can get 10% off, then I'll get 10% off because that's more money I can use for the kingdom. That's more of an, I mean, just yesterday, and then I'll share the other story, but just yesterday I'm in International House of Pancakes, and this mother was sitting there waiting to be seated with her two children. They looked to be about maybe 7 or 8, 9, 10 years old, anywhere between 7 to 10 years old. And the little girl, she asked her mom, "How was your day?" And it was the way she said it. It was, and then she said, "Mommy, can I have a kiss?" And the mommy said, "Sure," and then the little girl leaned on her and she showed her something on her phone. She said, "Hey, look." And it just blessed me because that's, you know, I never had a biological daughter. When I was married, I had a daughter through marriage, but when I say through marriage, I mean she had my former wife had already had a child, and so when we got married, her daughter became my daughter. Her biological daughter became my daughter, and so I have this, I have a tendency not to necessarily favor girls over boys, but it just does something to my heart when I see little girls that are just so precious. You know, boys are too, you know, and I don't want to make it out to be like you got to be hard on boys. It's not about that. It's just children. I'll just say this. Children in general are so precious. The Bible calls them a blessing, you know, in your quiver, like someone that has a quiver is what holds arrows. And it just blessed me so much. So what I did when I went to order my food, I told the server, I say, how can I add X amount of dollars to their bill so that they can, you know, enjoy their meal? She may have had the money. It wasn't even about that. It was about the fact that God moved on my heart to do something for somebody else. That's why it's important that you understand prospering in the things of God. God is trying to bless people through you. First, you're already blessed if you're in the kingdom of God. You're blessed. You know, so why don't we operate more in the blessing when finances show up or when favor shows up or when, I mean, hey, let me tell you something. You can open up an avenue for somebody to hear about your Jesus when their stuff is on the side of the is on the curb after having been put out of the apartment, and they do not know what they're going to do, and a single mom is standing there, or a single dad. You know, we kind of focus on the single mom, but there, I know some single dads. I mean, my life hit a point where I was paying child support. I started getting refund checks because I made a quality decision. I am responsible for paying child support. And anything beyond that, that is my responsibility. So I stopped being lazy and sorry and just apathetic and, you know, well, he lived with his mom and her dad and her husband. And I put all that aside and I made a quality decision. I will honor my obligation to support my son whether I feel like it or not, and I will do what I need to do to support my child, period. I don't care if his mother had taken the money and just burned it out in the backyard. I don't, none of my business. That would have been between her and God. And then, you know, as I began to prosper more, I started realizing the amount I was paying doesn't even scratch the surface on what's needed for the boy to grow up. And, you know, but now I'm not in bondage because I can't go back and fix anything, because I can learn from it and I can share it with other young men that and young ladies that have financial obligations when it comes to their children. So, all right, so then, you know, the server told me what to do. So, I blessed the people. And the lady, now, she had a mask on. I had a mask on. Kids had a mask. Everybody had a mask on. And this is what she said. She said, I understand what's going on with the pandemic, and I understand COVID. But she said, come here, and that woman hugged me. Now, I know there might be people listening, and they'll say, well, you know, wait a minute. See, the goodness of God leads people to do stuff. Now, it says repentance. But that word repent means to turn, and you know I looked it up because that word repent it okay. Here's what repent means, and I'm getting ahead of myself. It comes from the word repo. The Latin repo. So when I hear repo, I think about Repo Man. That word man is male or female, so let's just stop with the, you know, just take it for what it is. Let's not get culturally conscious about the word of God, because the word of God doesn't change. So you can't make it fit your culture. You have to make the culture adjust to it. That's just how the word of God works. So this word repent, when you think about it, think about the repo man. Now, if you've ever had a vehicle repossessed or a house repossessed, anything repossessed, I mean, that carries the idea of to take back by force if necessary. The kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. This is the picture. This is what happened yesterday in that restaurant. I was sitting there. God is there with me. God is like the repo man. You know, the scripture says that Satan walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, check this out. God walks about who is a lion, like you know, not in a literal sense of like, you know, in the jungle, like a physical. But, well, you know, I mean, we'll talk to him about that. God walks about as the repo man, looking to take back those that belong to him. See, there are people that are supposed to be living in the kingdom, but they're living out there in the world, and they can't figure out why life isn't working. So it's the picture of God, and the word, this word repo, it also had in there was a semicolon, and then it said creeping. So God is creeping. It's the picture of God creeping along like the repo man looking for his property. And he needs avenues and he needs opportunities to take his stuff back. So I'm in a restaurant. He asked me, and God moves, he works and moves through people. So we have to remember that. God, you know, I got born again. I just got saved. Man, I was loving life. I was, oh, dear God. I had this relationship with this person that I didn't know how much they loved me. And my salvation, and I'll share it probably another time, was so much different than most people's salvation, because the Lord showed up to me in a vision, just like the Apostle Paul. And that's what led me. So what happened, I was sitting in a car. I just got born again. And I said, Lord, I said, start this car. And he said, that's why I gave you hands. And from that day forward, I realized God is not going to do for me what I can do for myself. Now God will do for you what you can't do for yourself if you acknowledge him in the process. For example, the vision God has for my life, the vision that I've accepted that he laid out for my life, is too big for me. I have a $500 billion vision. Did y'all hear me correctly? A $500 billion vision. Now, how am I going to, if I go look at my bank account right now, it doesn't even, it's seed, but, or however, how do you amass $500 billion? And say that the Lord put it on my heart because I'm going to need this money. Well, as the years have gone on, I've been born again since 1997. So in that time frame, God has been showing me so much stuff to where, okay, this is what you're going to need it for. You're going to need to do this. You're going to need to affect this. And if you think about it, when you're talking about ministering the gospel all over the world, it takes money. First, you have to get there to minister the gospel. Yeah, but there's internet, there's radio. No, wait, see there? Okay, what if the internet shuts down? Or what if things, what if the flight gets canceled? Or, that's why you need your own airplane. That's why you need your own transportation service. That's why you need your own hotel. So when you go, imagine having a hotel in every country that's populated by X amount of people, and having one in every state in the union of the United States of America. See, that's the kind of thinking. God says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. We have to get on God's thought level or how he looks at stuff. See, when God looks at somebody, he doesn't look at what they're currently doing, just like he didn't look at you and me when we were currently doing stuff. He looks at the finished product. He's like, oh, don't worry about that. Oh, that's no big deal. Oh, don't even sweat that. That's how he looks at stuff. So when that lady came back, and then the little girl just hugged me. She said, oh, thank you so much. And I was, oh my God. That's when you want to empty the bank account, man. I mean, and then not a young man. He gave me a just gave me a pound, like a fist, like that. And he was like, I was like, I hear you, bro. You good, man. You good. I hit him up like that, and I understand. But that's how God operates. That's the goodness of God. And it'll lead people down a path of repentance. And repentance isn't always necessarily just salvation. You might repent of being in a relationship that you were never supposed to be in. You may need to repent of, And that word repent also carries the idea of turning. I was in the military for 6 years. I was in the Air Force from 1991 to 1997. And I was what was called the dorm chief. The dorm chief is the highest student leader in that particular, we had flights. So in our flight, I was the highest student leader. Now, at the time, I didn't volunteer for it. So I put it like that. The T.I., our head T.I., he told us, he said, hey, you're the dorm chief. I just looked around like, okay, well, what is that? But I said, sir, yes, sir. And then he told me, he said, you're responsible for everything that goes right, and you're responsible for everything that goes wrong. And I just had to figure it out as I went along. But God, all the way through, he was, now I wasn't born again, wasn't saved, didn't care nothing about the Lord, my goal was to make some money, travel the world, and you know, I'll just say it, mess around, have a whole lot of women, have fun, and just live the life that I'd seen on television, I'd read about in magazines. But God had a different plan for my life, see, because he used basketball to get, actually to get me saved. I met this guy, I was in Tucson, Arizona, and I was at Davis Monthan Air Force Base, and what happened is at the gym, you have a board, and it's got about, it's got slots for 30 names, but the slots are broken up it's categorically. So you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, then you've got 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, then you've got 11, 12, 13, 14, like that. And so what happens is the first five play the second five, and then the winner of those, the first 10, they'll play the next 15, 16, 17, like that. And so what I did, there were four that I needed to play because I needed to get back to work. So I needed to go ahead and get some run in. And there were four slots already filled. So it was one more slot, which when I got to the board and I looked at it, there was only four slots. Okay. And I knew some of the names on there. But there was a word on there. It was Pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R. And I'm thinking, his name probably not Pastor, but I really don't want to play with a pastor because, you know, I was taught to respect ministers. I was taught to respect preachers, but I didn't want to respect this guy. I mean, I wanted to cuss. I wanted to argue. That's just how I played. That was just how I played. And I felt like he was going to be soft because growing up, I always perceived church sports and church people as being soft. I always perceived them as being pushovers and, you know, non-competitive and, you know, no passion, you know. They just want to tell you about Jesus and how everything is wonderful and great. And my life wasn't wonderful and great. My life was, I was in debt. I was 1,500 miles away from home or where, you know, I lived, the people I knew. It was a new city, a new environment. And I was enjoying myself, but at the same time, it was lonely. That's the best way I could put it. So I said, well, I got to play, so let me just go ahead and I'll play, and then I'll just see what's up. Well, the guy turned out to be really good. He was, this dude was legit, you know. And so we started talking afterwards, and when, you know, as we were talking, I found out that, you know, he's excellent, you know, basketball. He's got a basketball background, but he bowls, B-O-W-L-S, he bowls. And I was a bowler, too. I enjoy bowling, too. My high game was like I think it was a 266. That night, it was on. I wanted that 300, but, you know, praise God, no big deal. And so we bowled, and then I found out that he was what's called a dependent husband. That means his wife was an active duty member, but she was in the hospital in a squadron, in a medical squadron, and I was in the medical squadron too. So now we have all these common things, the basketball, the bowling. His wife's in the same medical squad, same squadron as mine. And so, you know, I was like, okay, this all right. Well, this dude gonna go and invite me to a Bible study. I don't want to go to a Bible study, man. Y'all gonna be sitting around and, you know, might go for the snacks. You know how you used to do a vacation Bible school. You went for the snacks. Now don't sit there and act like you didn't, because I know I did and I know you did too. So he invited me to the Bible study, and once again I was taught, if a minister invites you to do something, then just, you know, accept the invitation and keep, you know. But you know what? I was I felt like, I'll check it out, because we had other stuff in common. So I figured I'd check it out. So he told me when it was and where it was and everything. So I made sure, you know, okay, I'll be there. And I told the guy, you know, hey, yeah, I'll be there, man. And at first I just said it just to get rid of him. But then I thought about it later on. I'm like, you don't do that to no preacher, because God might get you. You know, I had that mindset back then. And so I go to this Bible study, and I get there, and I didn't know, you know, I get there, and first thing they do, and they're singing songs. Well, I wasn't used to going to I'd never been to a Bible study where they were singing songs, and they were singing songs I wasn't familiar with, because growing up, I listened to all the black radio stations, and then, well, not all black, but living in Germany taught me to be diverse when it came to music, as far as different genres. So I was familiar with non-R&B or non, you know, rap, or I was familiar with it. But at the same time, I was unfamiliar with, gospel. And see, when we hear a word gospel, we think black. No. The gospel is the good news about Jesus. The gospel is the story about the grace of God. So I was unfamiliar with Caucasian artists that sang gospel music. Now, did you catch how I put that? A Caucasian artist who happens to be most likely of European descent and of lighter skin tone, singing about the good news, the grace of Jesus Christ. That's gospel. That's gospel music. It's not. There's no this Christianity and gospel and this and that. Why can't it just be music, but it happens to be sang by somebody? Why can't it just be music, period? So I was because it's the words that's what's important. So I was unfamiliar with these songs they were singing, but I liked them. I liked what they were singing about. So what I did, I said, I familiarized myself. Some of the stuff, you know, I kind of caught on to it, and, you know, it was just pretty cool. And then afterwards, I think he took up an offering, and I think I might have had a few dollars. That's one thing I was going, you know, when you're in the church. And we had those pans that had the little red felt on it to where when they put the, you know, we need to get rid of those things. And here's why. Get something that's going to hold some real money. I got this philosophy. If you build it, they'll come. If you put out this little silver pan with the felt on it expecting coins, you know what they're going to give? They're going to give coins. Now, I'm not saying people don't put dollars in there. I'm not. I'm just showing you how. Let's start stretching our faith. Yes, I'm going to leave at one, okay?
Okay, thanks.
And so that was housekeeping. I got a 1 o'clock checkout. That's another thing. See, when God bless you with certain status, with hotels and airlines and stuff like that, you get a favor that other people don't get. And you know what? But I'm nice to these people, and they're nice to me, and I pay money, and I like staying in nice hotels. So praise the Lord. So, but what I'm saying about the felt trays, you know, don't. I'm not saying just get rid of it, but what I'm saying is that start expanding your faith. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, that God has given to every man the measure of faith. So there's a measure of faith that you have to receive in a greater capacity to where, you know, the money will be there. So I'm there. We sing the songs. Everything cool. He takes up the offer, and I think I put a couple dollars in there, maybe whatever. So then we get to the part where he opens up the Bible, and he starts talking. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, I grew up in a traditionally black Baptist church, and, you know, I never went to Bible studies, so this was kind of foreign to me, where he just sat there, and all he did was go through scriptures, showing me that God loved me. And I'm just kind of like, I never heard that before. I'm not saying that the ministers that I was up under, because the reason I went to Zion Spring Missionary Baptist Church when I was growing up was because one plant, Zion Spring Missionary Church, one Waters, W-A-T-E-R-S, that would be Chakota Ministries, World Change Church International, Faith Community Church Eastside in Tucson, Arizona. They all watered. So one plants, one watches, God gives the increase. So this guy, he's going through this Bible, and he's just showing how God loves me, how much God cares about me, and how he's got my best interest in mind, and how much he loves me. And it moved on my heart to the point to where I said, I've got to get one of those Bibles and read that for myself. Because now one thing I was big on, if you tell me something, if I can find it somewhere in writing, I'm going to go find it. I'm going to investigate. You know, the Bible even talks about the study of the scriptures. It says, I think it was the Thessalonians or the Philippians. There was one group to where they would search the scriptures to see if these things were true. So what I did was I decided, and if my voice kind of goes up and down or whatever, I got to check out at 1. So I got like 5 minutes, but I got 4 minutes left on the program. So what I did was I went and I bought one of those Bibles. And one night I was reading that the Bible I purchased. It was a I think it was a New King James Spirit-Filled Life Bible. That's what it was. And it had a lot of notes in it. It had all kinds of stuff. And I was just fascinated. So what I did, I just kept reading. I just kept reading. And then one night when I was reading, I laid my head back because I was sleepy. I was tired. It was late. And this man showed up in a vision. He was on a cross, and he looked bad. He looked real bad. I was just like, man, this guy here, what in the world happened? And he had a thorn on his head, but he was unrecognizable as far as his face was concerned, because he just, you know, he had been beaten up. Oh, God, he had been beaten so bad. And then I said to myself, this is Jesus. And then I heard a voice say, well, I heard that God say, I did this for you. And everything I'd ever done wrong flashed across my conscience in just like less than a millisecond. And every time I've been doing something wrong, I knew I was hurting the guy that I saw. And so I cried for about like 30 minutes. I just bawled because I couldn't realize, I realized how much this guy loved me, but then I realized how much I'd been hurting him when I was doing all these things. And so I said, Lord, I want to live the rest of my life for you. And when I said that, everything changed. The desire to cuss people out, the desire to, you know, go to the clubs. I'm not saying anything wrong with clubs. I'm pleased. The desire to drink alcohol and just get drunk and just be out of control. And all those desires just left, but I still had residue of the sin of living a life of sin. And so I had to work through things over the years. But what happened? I realized that, you know, my life is to minister, preach the gospel. That's what he asked me to do. I'm an evangelist. You know, I'm starting to also operate over in the apostle area too, but I just love sharing the gospel with people, and people that aren't necessarily ready for the gospel. They're not prepared. You know, I gotta get my life right before I get with God. No, get with God and He'll take care of getting your life right. So right now, I just encourage you to make a decision. You know. It's time to act. That's the name of this program. That's the title of this program. It's time to act. It's time to make a decision if you want Jesus or if you don't want him. So if you want Jesus in your life, then repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, I realize I didn't do anything to become a sinner, and I missed your mark for my life because of the mistake that Adam made. But you know what? I acknowledge, I confess that I'm a sinner, and I choose today to turn away from sin. So I turn towards you and your righteousness. So help me to live the life that you have for me. Show me how to love myself. Show me how to love people. And show me how to love you. It's in the wonderful, mighty, majestic, awesome, matchless name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Now, you don't have to understand everything, but just know this. You're saved, and God's got you. Hey, love you so much. Gotta go. Till next time.